Luke chapter 1. I don't think the way Mr. Dorkson put it was, it was not requested, he was threatened. I don't know if that's true or not, but Luke chapter 1. We're so glad you're here this morning. We're thankful. I get excited around Christmas time, and I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy what it means. I get discouraged when I walk into Walmart, but I enjoy the Christ of Christmas. And, you know, the world's making it all commercialized, but I'm glad that we can gather together and lift up the name of Christ. I love the carols, the hymns that we sing about Christ, and I don't know why. They seem like the easiest songs in the book to sing, and I just enjoy that music. Luke chapter 1, I had the privilege this morning of speaking in the Alpha, is it the Alpha class that I was in, or the Omega class, the other end. Alpha's Omega class, and it's such a blessing to be in there. And I finally found a class. I've spoken the teenagers, and even in the teenagers class, I have the least amount of hair. And so I finally found a class that there's a couple guys with less hair than me, and I was so thankful to be in there. But I had a good time, good folks in that class. But Mr. Weidrich's home with his wife this morning. Norma's not feeling well, and would you pray for her? We'd appreciate that so much. Luke chapter 1. We read this morning already as the angel came to Joseph. But I want you to notice in Luke chapter 1 in verse 26, we have another account as well as the angel came to Mary. And the Bible says in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful again to gather in your name. We pray that you bless this time together in a great way. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts, and I ask that you would fill me. I surrender to thee. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we've just turned the calendar to December, and we're just 20 days from Christmas morning, we pray, Lord, that this church and those that call themselves Christian would keep Christ in Christmas. Help us to realize that we are exalting the name of Christ and lifting up Jesus in all that we say or do. And Lord, may the lost and dying world see Christ in us. And Father, may this be a wonderful time of witnessing that we can share Jesus Christ with others. Father, bless our time together now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's much said about the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think rightfully so. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's such a wonderful thought to think that the Lord Jesus Christ laid aside his glory and stepped down from heaven willingly that he might be born in the manger, be trusted to a little peasant girl to take care of his needs, be born in a stable. And the whole purpose of him coming was that one day he would die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. The angel declared that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There was no secret right from day one that Jesus was born to die. I think it's important that we remind ourselves of that in the next few weeks as the Lord leads, I believe we'll talk more about that and we'll preach more about that and you'll hear more about it in your Sunday school classes and such. And I hope you understand that that's exactly what Christmas is about, that God became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. What a wonderful privilege that since we could not reach up to God, God reached down to us. This morning, I want to talk about something a little different then. Have you considered ever the call of Joseph and Mary? I want you to notice that they really didn't have a choice, did they? Mary was a woman that was highly favored before God. And because she was such a wonderful young lady and God had blessed her life and she was highly favored among women and the Holy Spirit of God, I'm sure, rested upon her, God had a special mission for her and for Joseph. We don't read much about Joseph in the Bible, but I would say this, I believe he was a godly man. I believe he was a vessel that was ready to be used of God and wanted to do the right things. The Bible says he was a just man. We read that when he found out that Mary was expecting a child, that he didn't want to make her a public example. He was going to put her away privily. And the Bible says because he was a just man. I believe he was a God-fearing man who loved the Lord and God had a special plan for them. But I want to consider this morning the call that was placed upon their lives. You know, it's an interesting thing that as we consider the call God puts on each one of us and a call to service, if you will, that sometimes people, others, do not understand. Do you know that you have a pair of people in heaven today that understand exactly what you're going through? Can you imagine Mary and Joseph as they have to go and tell their parents that Mary's expecting a child? I imagine Mary's dad would probably be pretty upset at first, wouldn't you? Here's this young lady that has been espoused, and up until this point, she's highly favored among women. They've done everything right. They've been godly examples. They're trying to live their lives in accordance to God's word. And, God doesn't say you're highly favored unless you're highly favored. And I believe they were godly people, and now they had to go to mom and dad. Say, Mom, I'm expecting a child. I don't know, but that might cause a few fathers to fly off the handle. It might cause some upset, and even Joseph didn't know what to do with it when he first heard, and he thought he was going to have to divorce her and put her away privately, and he didn't want to embarrass her, but at the same time, I'm sure he didn't want to be embarrassed himself. But then, when she tries to explain what happens, Mom, you don't understand. The child is of the Holy Ghost. Boy, try using that excuse someday. We often say the devil made me do it, but try saying, well, the Holy Ghost made me do it. This is God's fault. But people don't understand that very well, do they? As a matter of fact, it was a unique call, if you will. And what I mean by that is it had never happened before. And it has never happened again. You know, it's one thing if it had happened occasionally in history. If Mary could open up the book of Genesis and say, well, look at here, God created Adam and Eve, and Eve had conceived by the Holy Ghost. And we read a little bit further, and the Bible talks about Hannah praying for a child, and she conceived by the Holy Ghost. And Mom, it's happened again. But that wasn't the case, was it? This had never happened before. How can you explain something like that? It was very unique. It's never happened before, and it's never happened again. I heard there's some kooks out there that have claimed it's happened. But I got to tell you this, it's a lying young lady and it's naive parents that believe it. Because it has never happened like what the Bible says. It was a unique call. You know, God does things in miraculous ways and we see that in the life of Mary and Joseph. I want you to notice not only was it a unique call, it was an unmistakable call. You know, it would have been one thing if Mary had come and said to Joseph, you know, I'm having this child and I believe it's the Holy Ghost, but it was unmistakable because an angel came and pronounced it to her. Joseph struggled with it, and so he was about to do what he believed to be the right thing and put her away privily, and at the same time, an angel came to him. It was unmistakable because the angels explained it to them. You know, it's an amazing thing that when God calls, there's times where we struggle with the call, but when we finally become obedient and do what God wants, it becomes unmistakable in our lives. You know, there are times in my life where I've struggled with a decision, but when I finally surrender and say, God, okay, I'm going to be obedient, then it becomes unmistakable. I understand, and the peace that God brings in my life, I know that it's exactly what God wants. But I want you to notice that though it was a unique call and it was an unmistakable call, it was not an unusual call. You see what I mean? This seems very strange what God has done. I want to say to you that it was not unusual, at least not with God. I want you to consider what God has asked them to do and how it is in similar nature to what he asks all of us to do. When I say it's unique, yes, it's only happened one time. When I say it's unmistakable, I can say that because the angels sat down with each one of these involved and explained to them very carefully what God had asked them to do. But when I say it was not unusual, it's because God asked all of us to do something. God has placed a call on every Christian's life. And I want you to see from the Word of God some things we can draw today from their lives. The first thing we can see from reading the Scripture this morning was that it was a call to carry the gospel. Do you know that Mary was the first one to carry the gospel? Right there in her womb. She carried Jesus Christ. She carried the good news. You know that's no different for the rest of us? Every believer is called to carry the good news of Jesus Christ. Mary might have carried him in her womb, but the Bible says when the angel spoke, she pondered these things in her heart. God has placed his Holy Spirit within us, and we are to be witnesses to a lost and dying world. You know, this is a wonderful time of year to share the gospel with somebody. This is a wonderful time of year to send a Christmas card. I would encourage you, you know, we'll say, well, I can't get these kind of Christmas cards at the dollar store. Spend the extra dollar and get some good Christian ones that have a scripture in them. Have a witness, a testimony. Take some gospel tracts and put them in your Christmas cards. You know what you can do when you write your checkout for your paying your bills? Stick a gospel tract in there. They'll get upset with that, but if they want, they can stop sending you bills, amen? I guarantee they won't. I don't like what they're sending me. They don't have to like what I send them back, amen? But use this time as an opportunity to share the gospel with others. Mary was the first to carry the gospel. He said, well, this was an unusual thing. It was a unique thing. Yes, I understand that. But friends, she was asked to do what we are asked to do, is to take Jesus Christ and bring him to the world. That's what we're asked to do. You know, if there are folks today that are watching on internet, our auditorium looks very strange. But in just a week, we want to testify to Simcoe about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've invited people in so that they can come and hear the cantata, the Lamb of Bethlehem. And I hope that you're inviting friends. I hope you're bringing people in that they might hear about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's who Jesus was. And so this call that Mary and Joseph had upon their life was just simply, take Jesus Christ and present him to the world. Raise him. Use him. And that he might be a blessing to others and share the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I've got some pretty tough family. It's not easy to share the gospel with them. Do you think it was easy for Mary to share with her parents what was going on? Oh, my heavens. I have this idea. I don't believe it's true, but I got harebrained ideas sometimes. I would love to get to heaven and say to God, could you put me in a room and show me a movie of what happened with Noah's Ark? I'd love to watch that. The real one. Let me see that little stable on Bethlehem. Can I see it? But I'd like to be a fly on the wall when Mary's telling her parents and how they took it. I'd love to see that. I'd like to hear what Joseph's dad had to say. What happened with that little girl? You're trying to tell me it was the Holy Ghost? Well, it wasn't an easy thing for them, was it? You know, today, stuff like this happens all the time. It's unfortunate. Where a child has to go to a parent and explain a mistake that they made. I don't think it was as common back then. And for Mary and Joseph to have to go to their parents, it was not an easy thing. Friends, it's not easy, I understand, to stand up for Jesus, but we must. The Bible commands that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is a wonderful opportunity. So it was a call to carry the gospel. I want you to notice this, secondly, this morning, as we've already read all the scripture, it was a call of separation. It was a call of separation. It was a call of physical separation. Joseph was more than ready to put his wife away. You say, why would he do that? It was an embarrassment. He didn't want to be ashamed, and so he was going to take his fiancée at the time, the one he was espoused to, and he was going to put her away privily that nobody would know. And so they were going to have to be physically separated to be able to serve God properly. So it was a physical separation. Not only that, the Bible teaches that later in their life, after the child was born and Herod was going to destroy that child, that they had to separate themselves to Egypt and move away from the place they called home. Move away from their family, their friends, and others that love them and probably love to see that little baby Jesus, their grandchild. You know, Jesus brought much joy. I'm reminded of the story of Simeon and Anna. Have you ever read that story? What a great story. Simeon was an old, old man. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit had told him that he will not see death until he saw God's Messiah. One morning, I don't know what Simeon was doing that morning, but the Holy Spirit tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Simeon, go to the temple, it's time." And I can imagine Simeon as he's walking through the streets of that town, and as he's walking through and people are saying, "Good morning, Simeon," he says, "Got no time, I'm going to the temple. Simeon, I've got these pomegranates, would you like to buy some? You must like them. I've got no time, I'm going to see the Messiah." Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And the Bible says that Simeon got there into the temple grounds, he saw Jesus, and he took him up in his arms. You see, God is so gracious that he only promised Simeon he'd get to see the Messiah, but he got to hold him in his very arms. God does so much more than we deserve. Can you imagine how Simeon must have felt? You know, it's an important thing to understand that Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure, brought so much joy to so many people. How many of you here are grandparents? Just raise your hand. How many of you remember when that first grandchild was born? I got my dad's Bible and all the grandchildren's names, dates, weights, the moment, right down to the second when they were born is written in there. That's a great joy, isn't it? And Jesus was a child, I'm sure, like any other, that brought a lot of joy. And for them to have to go to Egypt must have broke people's hearts. Grandma and grandpa, other family, cousins. Family was important. And yet they had to be willing to physically separate themselves to obey the call of God. Let me ask you, friend, are you able to do that? What if God were to call you and to go? You know, God tests at times as well. You know, we believed a year ago at this time we were on our way to Africa. We believed beyond the shadow of doubt. That's what God wanted. And we quickly, about May of last year, we began to see, or even earlier than that God was just testing us to see if we would be obedient. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do and separate yourself physically? You know, there was also a spiritual separation. Think about this. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says that Christ made himself of no reputation. We're so worried about our reputations, aren't we? But Christ said, "I don't care what people think about me. I'm going to be about my Father's business." Do you know that Mary and Joseph's character was probably assassinated all over Nazareth and Bethlehem? Anybody that knew them probably were whispering as they'd walk, and they're pushing their baby carriage through the markets. I don't know if they had them back then. But pushing a baby carriage through the market, and people are whispering, "That's that little girl that got pregnant out of wedlock." Their characters were at stake. And in order for them to fully obey God and follow his call for their life, they couldn't worry about what people were saying about them. They had to be separate from that. You know, sometimes we think that if we go down to the altar and pray that, well, Brother Walsh preached on gossip tonight, that must be their problem. We haven't quit worrying about what people think and start dealing with things spiritually in our lives. Somebody might say, "Well, I don't know if I can go and surrender to the mission field, because if I do that, maybe some of my teen friends will laugh at me." Don't you worry about what your friends think. You just obey God. Mary and Joseph had a great burden placed upon their life to carry the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring him in the circumstances that they found themselves in. They would be despised and outcast from all their friends and family. But they had to do it in order to obey God. It was a call of separation. Friends, I want you to also notice it was a call to give themselves. It was a call to give of themselves. Think about this. Mary and Joseph probably like any young couple, had the date marked on their calendar when they'd get married. Probably you could say to Mary, Mary, how many days is it? 63 days till I get married. Ladies always seem to know that, don't they? Amen. Fellas, if they're not counting the days, there's something wrong with you. All right? I'm just letting you know ahead of time. But girls always know. 67 days, 63 days. They got it all planned out. I mean, they know when they got to go get their fitting done, so they got to lose that last half pound. You know, they've got it all planned out. They've got dreams. If you were to say, Joseph, what do you do? Well, I'm building this little house. We're going to be right on the Sea of Galilee, and I've got a carpenter shop all set up with my dad, and he's going to let me have some land, and I'm going to build a little carpenter shop there, and we're just going to have a great life together. You know, well, how many kids are you going to have? Well, we're going to have 3 kids, 2 boys and a girl. That's how people talk when they're getting married, don't they? They're excited about it. They're looking forward to it. Think about this. All their plans and dreams were put on hold, taken away. Can you show me in the Bible where Mary and Joseph ever complained about it? Not once. The angels came and they got up and did what was right. I'm sure Joseph had plans for where he would raise his son and what he would do with him as he grew older, but all those dreams were put aside because now he's going to have to go to Egypt and live for a while. He's not going to have an ordinary child. He's going to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords dwelling in his house. Can you imagine as they go camping some night and they're laying out there on a field and they're laying back and they're looking at the stars and Joseph says, let's count the stars together. And Jesus says, I already know how many are there. I'm God. I mean, this was not a normal child. They were going to have to give of themselves in order to serve God properly. You know, that's the same call we all have. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. You say, what does God want from me? He wants you. That's what he wants. I was speaking in the Omega class this morning. We looked at Jeremiah chapter 2. And God says to those, through the prophet Jeremiah, to the people of Israel, he says, I remember the love of thine youth. I remember thine espousals. He says, I remember when you were young and you followed after me and you loved me. But somewhere along the way, you forgot me. But one of the things he says to them is, I remember the love of thy youth. I remember thy espousals. He says, I remember how you followed me into the wilderness that was barren. There was nothing there. In other words, they just followed him by faith, believing God would supply. And he said this, he says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Why were they holy? Because they were doing all the right things? No, because they loved the Lord Jesus or Lord God so much, they were just willing to follow him and do whatever it took to please him. That's all that mattered. Listen, friend, if you have a real heart for God and want to follow him and do whatever it takes to please him, you will be holy. Because you'll be willing to purge some things out of your life that should be pleasing the one you're following. You'll be willing to sacrifice and give up some of those personal pleasures that you might be pleasing to the one that you're following. That's what Mary and Joseph had to do. They had to say, well, our plans are going on hold now. The things that we dreamed about, the big wedding with 300 guests, we can't have that anymore. We just have to get married quietly. We have to live our lives in hiding. There's a king that wants our child dead. We're going to have to go to Egypt. But they were willing to sacrifice in order to follow God's call for their life. Let me ask you, friend, are you willing to do the same? You know, Isaiah in chapter 6, the only call we see there is this, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm just willing to do whatever you want, God. I don't know what it means. I don't know what sacrifice I'll have to make. But God, I'll do whatever you want in order to follow you properly. That's what God asked Mary and Joseph to do. If you think about this, Mary, not only did they have to change their plans, did they have to face ridicule, Mary literally gave her physical body to do what God wanted. She was carrying a child. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't understand, but I do understand this. a child changes a woman's body, doesn't it? And I even had sympathy pains from it. I mean, a woman's body changes so much. This is to have a child is a great, great sacrifice. You know, it's just it's a thing. What they go through the first 3 months of sickness, I mean, that's a terrible time. And then there's other things that go on. I don't even want to think about it anymore. I'm done with that, amen? But Mary was willing to give her body to do what God wanted. She never complained. She never cried out. She never said, God, can you go find somebody else? She just, in a meek and tender spirit, did whatever God wanted. You know, it's a call to sacrifice. And you say, well, I don't know if I want to give my body to have a child for God. That's not what I'm talking about. But there have been many over the years who have given their very lives at the stake. They've been beheaded for the cause of Christ. We have, and you say, well, that was 400 years ago. No, friend. You go to India, you'll find it today. You go to some places in Africa, you'll find it today, where Christians are being destroyed for the cause of Christ. They're willing to die under the persecution of the devil. Are you willing? In order to see somebody saved, somebody get the gospel, are you willing to give of yourself? The last thing we see about Paul this morning was not only was it a call to carry the gospel, not only was it a call of separation, not only was it a call to give of themselves, it was a call to give of their family. Now think about that. Jesus was going to be the Messiah, the Christ. Now, you know, what if Mary had said when her boy was growing up, boy, he's got such potential. He's such a good young man, you know, and he's so talented in the carpentry shop with his father. I think, Joseph, you know what, here's what we're going to do. We just want you to be a carpenter. We want you to stay at home. We want you to live your life. We'll give you a little parcel of land here. You can put up a house. You can have a family, and we can have grandchildren. What if Mary and Joseph had done something like that? Boy, they would have missed a lot of blessings, wouldn't they? What if they'd been selfish with Jesus? I remember when he was 12 years old and he's in the temple. And they were worried about him. They thought he was in the company with other family. And they turned around and finally found him in the temple. And he was asking questions and he was answering questions. And they said, Jesus, what have you done? And he says, I must be about my father's business. And I don't see in the Bible from that point on that they lectured him any further. Never again did they say, Joseph, you should have been with us. What was wrong with you? You're going to get it when we get home. But as soon as they heard that God had done something in his life, they said, okay, we better take our hands off. This is God's child. Have you done that with your family? Are you encouraging service in your children, or are you hindering it? Are you encouraging spiritual growth, or are you hindering it? Sometimes we grab onto our kids, and listen, I don't believe your motives are wrong. Sometimes we do it because we love them so much. We don't want to see them go off to the mission field in Africa. We don't want to see our grandchildren grow up where we can't see them. It's not an easy thing. But God sometimes calls for those things. I was just thinking of the Vans Hardingsfelt as I looked over here. And it's not easy when your daughter's down in Haiti and there's cholera and typhoons and earthquakes. But if that's where God wants her, what do? There's others here. We have Mr. and Mrs. Roberts have a daughter over in Jordan. That can't be easy around Christmas time. But if that's what God wants, we have to be willing to let them go. You've got family. Pastor Gowacki's got some family here this week, and that's why he's smiling all the time. Mrs. Gowacki too. But you know, they travel a lot too. There's times I don't get to see them for months, I'm sure. That's not easy, is it? But if that's what God wants, we have to be willing to sacrifice. Listen, friend, God is calling us for service. That doesn't mean he's going to call you and take your children somewhere, but he does want us to surrender. He does want us to be like Mary and Joseph and say, okay, God, whatever you want, I'm not going to complain about it, I'm not going to whine about it, we are just going to do our very best to serve you. It was a difficult call they had. Let me encourage you in this. If you ever think again that what God has placed upon you might be too much to ask, I want you to think about Mary as she watched her son on a cross. Can you imagine? We think we have it so hard, but Mary had to watch Jesus die. What God has called us to is nothing. I can't imagine what Mary went through on that day. Watching the nails. Even if she turned away her head, she couldn't help but hear the nails being beat with the hammer. And Jesus crying out in agony. And if she looked for a moment and saw those soldiers spit in his face, she must have wondered, God, why? And yet from the moment she was born, he was born, she never complained. She said, we just want to serve you, Lord. That's a call. And friend, I don't believe that God will ever call you to something you can't handle. He'll give you the grace. But we must surrender. Let me say this. If you don't surrender to God's will, your life will be a whole lot harder. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand your word and speak to our hearts today. Father, we thank you for Mary and Joseph. And Lord, how they were willing to serve you. It couldn't have been easy. Mary watched that little boy grow from a child. She saw him in the temple and knew there was something so special about him. But from the time his ministry became public and their hopes began to rise, they were dashed just a few years later as he was crucified on a cross. Father, we're so thankful for the testimony we receive from the Word of God and their willingness to serve you. Lord, I pray, and I can't help but think today, there's some here that need to surrender. They need to give God their very lives. They need to give God their families, their children. And say, God, whatever you want for their lives, we're willing to give it. Lord, bless our invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.